everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Dad Knows Best. I am Harrison Mudge, father of one beautiful little boy, and to my right, my co-host, daddy of two, Adam Callow. How you doing?
Can't match that. Can't match that energy. I'm good, mate. I'm really good. It's Monday. I like the recording sessions on a Monday because I feel like we're a bit more on point. We get a bit boozy, I think, when we decide to do it on a Friday. Well, I do anyway. But yeah, I'm good, man.
There's definitely a tone on a Friday.
There is.
Definitely a tone on a Friday. If anyone that's new listening or watching, this is a show. It's about all sorts, really. It was, but it's kind of, what is it? It's a journey of a couple of guys. It's just a couple of best friends. We're on the mics. We're just chewing the fat, talking about what it's like to be dads, sharing some war stories, having a laugh along the way. And then you guys can get in touch as well. People email in. All the thousands of listeners and watchers out there, they get in touch via email, dadknowsbest@mbs.fm. Today, Adam, I want to dive into a topic, but before I do, a little bit of a, it's not a bump date anymore, it's a baby update.
It's a bump date, bumps his head every time he's
I like to,
asleep in his cot
like
right now.
Check in. Yes.
No, I'm
that's
saying.
That's exactly it.
It's the segue. You know what I'm doing.
Come on, mate. We are on fuego. He is starting to crawl. Sorry, he's not started to crawl yet, but he's showing those signs, so he's like, He's been on his knees for a while, but he's slowly like pushing him way, pushing his way up off of the floor, but not, he's not bridging right now. So at the moment, his stomach's still on the ground or wherever.
It's called a Superman. I do T25 with Sean T on Beachbody On Demand.
Link in description.
Not a sponsor. It's called the Superman. That's what he's doing. Bodies on the floor. Eesh. And then Rocket Man's palms up at the back.
Okay.
And you know what I mean? Like arms by the side.
So you're working like your glutes and your lower back, your lumbar and all that. That's cool.
Your back muscles are just as important as your front muscles.
100%. If not more important.
Flex it. I got a weak back.
Because we're all over compensating for the front muscles. So everyone's got that internal rotation.
Agree.
Anyway.
I rocket man that out. He's three times a week. Song goes through my head every time it happens.
Rocket Man.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I do that. Honestly, God, I do that in my head. Like, guys, if you're not watching YouTube, you need to go and watch it just for that. That's what I do in my head when it goes on. I'm like,
Do you reach up and
Superman.
Then out? So Superman.
Rocket Man. Yeah.
Rocket Man.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's currently Supermaning, and he's showing signs of bridging his stomach off, but obviously not holding it. He can also pull himself up when we put him in the cot, the crib cot, whichever, next to our bed.
Pen.
For an afternoon nap. He grabs on the side, pulls up.
Stands
usually
up.
Chews the bar first and then like can pull himself up onto his feet. And then, but in his sleep, interestingly.
Will he then shimmy? Or will he just,
no, he can't. He hasn't got the ability to take conscious steps. I noticed he just kind of, his feet go up and down and happen to move, but he's not like, okay, I want to move to the left or the right. At the moment, he's just like up. And if his feet are like right next to each other or whatever, then that's just how it is. But he can just push himself onto his feet.
Okay.
So then, but in his sleep, he flips onto his front now. All of a sudden, he just flips onto his front. So he'll nod off on his back, but instantly he just rolls over. So like, and where we've put
just
our
like
camera.
You.
Yeah, that's what's so weird. I can't sleep on my back. I've woke up like after being asleep, obviously, on my back. But if I'm like, I need to get to sleep, I have to just face on that pillow.
That's how you do it. I've seen you sleep sometimes.
Yeah.
I've come into rooms, especially when we're like been out and I'm coming into a room and you're just face down in a pillow. I'm like, shit, you're dead.
but it's so bizarre. So
I just don't want to close the door. I don't want to find
it's
this.
It's like, ooh.
There's too much paperwork if I'm the first person that finds it.
Just call room service. But yeah, I don't know what it is. It's like, as soon as, like, if I lie on my back, it wakes me up more. I can feel myself becoming more alert. So, but as soon as the pillow, as soon as like I'm on my side or a little bit to the front, like just half the face like that, that's go time for me, sleep.
Can I go massively off topic here? So at the moment I sleep with an eye mask on because of the we've got this issue in our bedroom.
Is it a special eye mask? You don't seem the me knowing you, Adam Callow, you are not the sort of person to go for one of those £4 jobbies that's just like a thin piece of fabric on a on an elasticated string. You've not. I bet you've got something that's got like inserts or a cooling technology.
This is interesting. So the current eye mask is, it's out of my wife's drawer. So it's an Anne Summers eye mask.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna go down the gutter with this. I'm gonna elevate it. Is yesterday because I'm really enjoying the eye mask a lot.
Is it because of the whips and chains that follow with it as well?
I'm really enjoying
and the ball gag.
This is a Friday conversation. I'm really enjoying the eye mask. So yesterday it was this thing on YouTube, and there was it's one of the things that was like recommended, and I'm like, this is interesting. You heard of a rapper called 2 Chainz?
2 Chainz.
Yeah.
2 Chainz.
I don't know if that's a reference.
In one of his songs, in a song that he's in, you'll often hear him say, 2 Chainz,
so,
in the background.
I don't know anything about him. Anyway, he does something called like the most expensiveiest.
Yeah, sort of. I've seen a thumbnail of 2 Chainz most expensiveest, and it's an eye mask.
Yeah, so that, I saw that yesterday, and I'm like, okay, click. And it's a $300 eye mask, but it's not just an eye mask. Like, one, it's got Bluetooth. Why not? But it's
for what?
It's got, because it plays sounds. In the eyes, in the mask, the eye mask, it emits lights and different lights to get your sensory experience to kind of say this is, and then it plays stuff.
That seems counterintuitive.
And then it cools
for
stuff.
What?
Not bright lights. It's not like the Kanye.
The reason you wear an eye mask is for it to black out.
Yeah, no, but what it does, I think it's not, so you're not just going from light to dark, it's giving you the pulsating to kind of lull you. Apparently in 11 minutes it'll get you asleep. And I'm like...
And in only 2 minutes it'll cost you $300.
$300, but you can get the accessory kit on top, which makes it like $420.
Premium deluxe.
Premium deluxe. But I'm literally, so I was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm seeing if it's on Amazon.
I'm seeing if there's a discount code, obviously. I'm like,
can't get on Amazon, but... I'm looking to upgrade my armor. Any recommendations from any of the dads? No dads are like that. Nah, I'll ask the wife for you.
Do you know, I don't have an issue. Like, so what you didn't explain is why you've got an eye mask.
So in the bedroom, because it's getting muggy, we open the bathroom door.
Mm-hmm.
And the roof window doesn't have a blind.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it's set up, and you said just open up a little bit, but I can't because it then knocks the door open. So what happens in the morning right now is the light coming through the roof window, it's like, wakes me up. It wakes me up before the kid, and the kid's up fucking early.
Is that a direct sunlight thing coming through, or is it just the fact that there's a window without a blind?
No,
and
it's like direct sunlight through misty glass because it's a bit, it's a window. Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, and it's like, boom, I'm awake. And with my body, when I'm awake, I'm awake.
Mm.
Like, there is no gradient. Like, when the kids wake me up, I'm awake.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's now waking me up before Reggie and Riley, and they take the piss.
The sun.
Yeah. So... eye mask solved it. Loving life right now, getting more sleep. Great as well, actually, because when the kids come up and they see the eye mask on, they're like, don't wake daddy up. So they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They just help themselves to the iPad and go downstairs.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cool. Anyway, sorry, man.
What
are we talking about
where
today?
Where are we going with that? So anyway, back to my son for a second. Now
sleep
that
face down.
Your,
let's rewind.
Have you ordered that special eye mask?
Nah. I'm not going to pull a trigger on that, man. But for those of you that want to invest in AC coin, inside joke.
So yeah, so he is, so in his sleep, weirdly, it's like he's crawling it better in his sleep than when he's awake because he gets himself, you know how that kid sleep where like they're on their knees, but they're like face down on the bed. Well, he's like that. And he obviously over the night, like an accordion.
They're basically in like child's pose.
Yeah, yeah. So I realized the other week that he's actually, the reason he wakes up sometimes in the night, because he's just moving around. That's it. So we've got a camera at the top hanging over his cot as well, so we can see him move around. And we realize that he keeps waking up because he's actually crawling and hitting his head on the top of the, literally. And we went in there the other night because we saw him on the camera. And we're like, oh, let's go in and have a look at him. We go in. Next thing, I just hear this like, and he wakes up and starts crying. I'm like, oh my God, he's just
that's
that.
What's
and
happening.
It's not like a little like, oh, he's just nudged it. He's gone from like on his knees, it's like doubled in length and just hit that headboard.
Okay.
So need to put a cloth down so he stops doing that.
I think he'll stop doing it because he realizes it hurts.
No one does anything when they're asleep intentionally.
That's the story and I'm sticking to it.
But yeah, I could imagine you saying that to Emmy.
No, I was asleep. I didn't mean
anything
to do
anything
that
happens
to you.
When I'm asleep, I'm not aware of.
Cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't play out. Cool.
And I realize I don't need an eye mask because my pillow is my eye mask.
Agree. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like,
yeah, but I can't do that. I don't think many people can do that or should do that. It looks like a health hazard.
But yeah, so long story short, he's learning to crawl. He's getting on well. I'm excited to see. Well, I'm excited and a little bit nervous because he's still technically immobile at the moment.
Yeah, you need to baby-proof that house of yours pretty quick.
A friend of ours, Stephen May, gave a good piece of advice that when he's showing signs of about to crawl, he said, get a bottle of wine in, you and the wife, and then what you got to do is you got to lie on your backs, strap in, you got to lie on your backs and just like shuffle around the house all on your back. And anything that you can reach.
Yeah.
That is like dangerous or hazardous to a child.
Yeah,
you need to take it out of reach.
That's so, top advice.
I mean, like for me, I can like cover a lot of shelving, so everything's all of a sudden got to be 6 feet off the ground. But still, exciting.
Humble brag. Harry's got length. Carry on.
Shoulder to wrist.
Where are you going with that?
I was gonna say,
when you started, I was going to say
tip, but then I was like, of what? Yes, that was a bit of an update. Today, Adam. The
bit of an update. You used half the camera.
Well, you know, it's 13 minutes of sheer gold.
Okay.
And if no one else is listening, I will.
Gotta edit it.
But I just wanted to change gears a little bit. Because I know we mentioned it at the end of last week's show. Mm-hmm. We started talking about all the shit that's going on in the world. And I'm not going to turn this into a political episode or anything like that. But I think one of the things that we sort of alluded to last week was a question of how are we going to raise, or how do we raise our kids in, not in, how do we raise them to be aware of race? Mm-hmm. That's the hot topic right now. That's what everyone's talking about. But also, I watched the news this morning, actually, and there was a whole thing with J.K. Rowling and making a comment about gender and things like that. And the bigger thing is, like, raising your child or children it's like, how do you raise them to be aware of, tolerant of, or understand? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many things out now that even I'm not crystal clear on like what you can and can't say and everything like that. So, and I'm not expecting you to have the answer, but this is why we're here.
Good. But I often put my foot in my mouth.
But obviously your boys are a little bit older, so you're able to have conversations with them. Mm-hmm. and they're able to ask you questions, right? That kids are able to just ask these questions that there's no filter. They mm-hmm. just say, oh, daddy, why this, why that, or whatever. So I guess, let me throw it to you first and say, let me throw you under the bus first and just say, have either of the boys asked you a question yet about anything, not doesn't have to be about race specifically or anything like that, but have the boys asked you a difficult question about an individual person, mm-hmm. either on TV, in the street, or anything like that? Like, have you had to deal with anything like that at the moment?
Not at the moment. So there's a couple of things.
And just on that note, sorry to jump in again, but I think that kids don't see differences in people most of the time anyway, right? Like this is something that we learn as we get older
it's trained. Yeah.
So, but they're able to ask questions without fear of, mm-hmm. of that sort of thing. But yeah, sorry.
So when you're asking that, and we mentioned it on very briefly, maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But 5 years ago, was it? No, couldn't have been that long. 3 and a bit years ago. I'm walking with Riley. So Riley is like six now. And we're at a place called Barton Marina. And there was a woman walking, I don't know, 5 meters in front of us with a burqa on.
Yep.
Burqa, is that right?
I believe so.
Anyway, someone's got an email in.
Again, I'm, yeah.
And he literally stopped and pointed and was like, "Daddy, why is that woman dressed like that?" And I was like, "Oh," and I'm uneducated on why at this point, but I was like, "Oh, Riley, that's to do with her religion. That's to do with what she believes." And in me, I wanted to go up to her and ask her because I think it's the right thing to do. I think it would have been, and I think I mentioned it to you before, but regret has sat with me since that day. So I was like, well, why didn't I go up and say, "Hey, my son's just asked me, like, why you wear a burqa? And I'm not educated enough to know. Like, I don't know, and I don't want to give him the wrong information. If you've got 2 minutes, could you just explain why you wear a burqa? Is that possible? If not, cool. But I'd just love to, if not, I can go find out elsewhere. But while you're here, I'd love to be able to ask you the question." And I didn't ask the question out of fear of insulting the lady. And I thought that was a really weak move for me. And I'm like, and that sat with me.
Yeah, that's tricky though, because you didn't want, you don't want to offend anyone, right? And you want to, you don't want to come across as insensitive to someone. So that's where the fear of wanting to ask her.
Yeah, but I think if you take it into, if someone's wearing a top and it says, I don't know, something in Latin, and my son goes, "Hey, what does that mean?" And I'm like, "Hey, I did Latin. I didn't
carpe
learn much.
Diem, mother."
I would have
lover.
Gone, "Hey, what does that mean on your t-shirt?" Like, that's my personality. That's my character type. I'm just like, "Hey, cool. Ask the question, get the answer." But I didn't, because I was uneducated, and there's a fear of, like you say, asking the question, being seen as insensitive, or I don't know, there's just a general fear of not being part of the conversation because you don't want to insult. So for me, that's what happened with the kids. But then you said something which was like, as a parent, how do we think about, get them to think about and be understanding and bits like that. I watched an interview with Morgan Freeman. And I just want, he's eloquent. He's a great communicator. And someone asked him a very similar question. It was like, "Morgan, like, how do we," as a white man interviewing Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman. So he's like, "Well, how do," he says, "simple. Let's stop talking about it." He says, "You stop thinking and talking to me like a black man, and I will stop thinking and looking at you like you're a white man." And from a kid's perspective, they don't see it. They don't see it like that. And I think kids have got like the, it's just innocence, purity. It's like, and we always say it, like, as a parent, want to try and keep them as innocent for as long as possible before the world changes them and sharpens them up and makes them tough and gives them the hard truths. And that comment sat with me a little bit. So I was like, that's so true. And if you look at like Reggie, his best friend is an Indian boy. And they have no boundaries. They have no expectations. And I'm thinking, how do I keep that to be true throughout? Because they see someone and they value them based on their actions and their emotions and how they treat them. And as a parent, I'm like, well, it's really tough because you want to keep them innocent and not really, you kind of don't want to mention it because you don't want to change their perception of it, because their perception is actually the right way to think, which is they're all fucking the same. Like, we're all people. And that's how kids think. The real problem is, in my opinion, that happens is as they grow up, they get exposed to other people's beliefs. So as a parent, how I think about it, I don't think about it about training my kids on race or on sex and gender equality and all this. I'm trying to teach my kids the foundation below that, which is everyone is equal. There are good people and bad people in the world. And here's how you educate yourself on thinking about things in terms of, if you see something that you don't agree with, ask the question, why? Have the courage to be part of the conversation and ask why. Don't just go with what everyone else, air quotes, is saying, thinking, or doing. So for me, that's how I'm oddly trying to tackle it, which is teach my boys that people have their own opinions and beliefs, and you have to take the time to hear them and understand them. Not necessarily agree with them, and then ask the questions why do you believe that? Or I don't believe it because, mm-hmm. or I don't agree with you because. So I think when you teach a kid to do that, and when you do it is another question, don't really know. I think you try and do it in stages and bite-sized chunks as you go through. But I think for me, it's about teaching them how to be a, I guess, their own person, and so they can make their own conscious thoughts and rationalizations on things. Because if you try and teach them what's, air quotes, right or wrong, there's a risk that you get it wrong. And
then you're inherently telling them from your perspective, right?
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of what I see is wrong. And again, opinion-based, guys. Mm-hmm. For those you listen, this is all opinion. There are a lot of things where I see that are wrong in the world and opinions of people is, and it's not an excuse, but because their parents have passed on those views to them, because, air quotes, to them, they were in a different generation and era, and things were different, air quotes, back then. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm using air quotes a lot, by the way, guys, because I feel like I fucking need to.
This whole show's in air quotes.
But I think that's a really poor excuse for the views that you have today. As a grown adult, you should be able to rationalize your own opinions. But what happens is you don't get taught to make your own opinions. You get taught what your parents think. So for me, I'm trying to break the mold a little bit. Because it's interesting because, like, being around my dad, like, my dad was not a racist man, but he'd say stuff that I would class as racist. And he never understood that. And I was trying to explain to him. And it, like, he's like, yeah, but son, like, I've got a good friend who's black. And I'm like, Dad. And I'm like, but for him, if I had just let my kids be exposed to my dad's way of thinking, I took it on board and had the same rationale and the same thinking, the same way of verbalizing it, then that would get passed on. But it needs to change and break somewhere. And I think for me, I don't want to actually change or tell my kids how to think about a specific topic. I want to teach them how to think for themselves. Then it's my job as a dad to say, I want to make you a well-rounded thinker and good human being. Because if your intent is there, I don't give a shit if you say the wrong thing. Like, I don't care if you say something that is technically PC incorrect, because you'll learn, you'll be part of the conversation, and people will know you and know your intent. So I'm trying to, like, round my kids off and say, hey, everyone is human, look after people, and don't be afraid to be part of a conversation if you don't understand something. And if you don't agree with something, like, I'm literally teaching my kid right now, if he doesn't agree with something I'm saying, to tell me, Dad, I don't agree, and here's why. That sounds counterintuitive to tell a six-year-old. I'm not doing it with Reggie, because Reggie's a fucking thug. Like, Reggie will use it all the time. dig his heels in. And it came from playing Fortnite, because I'd say something to Riley playing Fortnite, and then we'd lose the game, and he'd be like, we shouldn't have done this. I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me? He's like, because you told me to do this. I'm like, okay, well, how about this? If I say something and you don't agree, say, Dad, I don't agree, and here's why. Get it across, and we'll make a decision. So I'm trying to, like, and it sounds so small when you put it into the game context, but it's actually a big skill for a kid to be able to say, I don't agree, why, to someone that's senior and older to them. Like, for me, my teachers hated me for that, but also they had the most respect for me, because they'd say something and I'd tackle it and I'd challenge it. I think that's what I'm trying to instill in my kids.
Yeah, I think...
Sorry, I went off on one then.
It's okay. I think for me, it's... So with everything that's going on right now, I would like to believe, and I think it's true, that on a long enough timeline, when it comes to, like, fear of saying the right or wrong thing and stuff like that, and racism and inequalities and all that in general, on a long enough timeline, I would hope that it will all go away, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, everything that's going on at the moment is trying to highlight the fact that they're trying to make progress happen a lot quicker.
Accelerate change, yeah.
Exactly, which I am all for. But with a lot of things at the moment, for example, like gender and identification and things like that, there's a lot of, for me anyway, there's a lot of confusion of, and I only want to do the right thing. I don't want to offend anyone. Just going back to the conversation, the comment about seeing the woman in the street and what's she wearing, Daddy. Mm-hmm. Like, if we could all see everyone as the same, you, like, say, you wouldn't have the fear of just going up and going, excuse me, why do you dress like that? Rather than, like, excuse me, I understand
eggshells.
That, like,
yeah, eggshells,
and
yeah.
And I think that because I've had experiences where, or situations, and spoke to people where, if you just think, like, oh, you know what, I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to ask. But like, you don't like try and pussyfoot around. If you just like say something about someone's race, not say something, question something about someone's culture, for example, I've found that the I've never had anyone that's been offended by the question, because the fact that you're asking the question shows that you don't know and you're willing to learn. So people are always more than happy to oblige and sort of answer those questions.
Because it shows your intent. It shows like, hey, there's something going on that I don't get. Like, that for me is the biggest thing to break down barriers. And that's why I'm trying to teach, again, to come back to my kids, that's why I'm trying to teach my kids to ask the question. Like, you'll never get told off for asking the question, in my opinion.
But the thing we're being taught from the top down, like your elders, and like the media and everything, is that you can't offend people, you can't say these things to people, what can you say? And then all of a sudden we're all like, I can only speak for myself, but like, there are, like, say gender, for example, is like, what do you say now? How do it, like, and the fact that you're almost asking these things before you get to ask a person means that you're already on the wrong foot, because you're treading on eggshells. And I guess it's just, the big question is, how do you raise your kid to never gain that fear of just seeing someone how they've always seen them?
For me, it's about teaching your kid to ask what we would class as tough questions at a very early age, and not imposing it on them. But I found a really simple way to try and educate my kid, not to challenge authority, but not to take everything as gospel. Because there's an argument to say that Riley's better at Fortnite than me. Okay. And I've told Riley that.
Fact.
And it's like, cool guy. Like, listen.
Go to bed.
For me, it's about trying to train Riley now, Reggie in a couple of years, to question everything that comes into his mind. Because as we grow up and we get more connected and they start plugging into stuff that we spoke about, the internet and friend circles and playgrounds, and as they get more information thrown at them, and with the world that we live in now, with the amount of fake news and clickbait, you have to, everything that comes into your head, you have to second guess the source. You have to look. And that's what technically, like, school should be teaching you, is here's what we've been told and here's the source, make your own decision. And it's sort of like everything should be considered false until proven a fact, sort of thing. For me, it's just about trying to teach my kid to think. It's the only way I can explain it, and I'm doing a really piss poor job of it, but I don't want to try and say, here's the person you need to be. I want to try and say, is you need to be a good person, and whatever that becomes in you, fine, because your intent is there. And it kind of comes back to the whole reason that we had a separate conversation to this, is because me as a person remembered that feeling of not being part of the conversation. And then with what's going on in the world right now with Black Lives Matter, it was, I don't want to have that fear in me again. So I'm like, I know I'll probably say the wrong thing. And by the way, I fucking did. I know that feeling, but I don't regret it, because my intent was there. I put all lives matter, not realizing what I was actually saying. I thought I was being inclusive. And then I educated myself on the whole matter. And I think that's like the key point, is where, I know it took us 30 minutes and you having to jump up there and just make sure we get an extra couple of minutes on the camera, and I appreciate it, is this is my cliff notes for the whole show. If you're not prepared to be part of the conversation yourself and educate yourself as a father, you cannot expect any better for your kids. They will learn from your actions, not your words. They will learn to be a man that has values and morals by watching you display you're a man of morals and values. Like, if you just say it and it's lip service and they see you act differently, that it's like you telling your kid, you should never cheat on your girlfriends, and then you go and cheat on your wife. Like, they're going to fucking, that's going to break their whole image of what relationships are. What you do is more important than what you say to your kids. So it's about me demonstrating now, from when he's 6 to 10 to 12 to 20, whenever it is, when he sees me and my actions, he goes, well, I want to be a man like dad, and this is how he acts. I want to emulate that. If you take that and then say, how do you think about stuff? I think you got a winning formula. It starts with the dad, not the kid.
Like it. Just before we wrap up, it'll be interesting, I guess. Your family is all just straight up white, right?
Yeah, yeah.
as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, and I'm speaking of this from like a privileged white man who has no fucking like. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting for Elliot because obviously Emmy, my wife, is half Japanese, so her mum is full Japanese. So it'll be.
It's a pedigree.
but it'll be bizarre because he's technically going to be is quarter Japanese. So he's not straight white.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see how a lot of different things. But one of the things is how like in just like two generations, you can have a nice little Japanese lady and then he took all of my genes as well, by the way, from the gene pool. He's like blonde, blue-eyed, pale as anything, which is a shame. I was hoping he'd be a bit more olive-skinned because I burn easy. But yeah, I think... I guess, like, culture-wise for us in our family, we don't... It's not like we practice anything anyway, but I think, like, I've always had an interest in Japanese culture and stuff like that. Maybe that's why I married my wife, because she's from that.
All makes sense now.
Yeah, it all adds up. But yeah, I would like to sort of embrace a few more sort of Japanese culture things. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting as Elliot grows older to maybe make him more aware and myself to learn more of that side of things, but to introduce, because as fans of the show will know, my background is Jehovah's Witness, so we never did anything Christmas time or anything like that. So I don't really have any, I've not formed any habits when it comes to like celebrating events or anything like that. So it'll be interesting to see if we can sort of implement things either from like Christmas or maybe some Japanese cultures, Japanese events. Celebrations, don't know. I don't know what they're into. So,
but I think other than
KFC at Christmas, which is a thing.
But I think one thing that you will benefit from as well as Elle is because he's going to see both sides of those cultures. Because he's gonna, like you say, quarter Japanese. He's going to actively go and learn about his heritage and his background and what events and celebrations they have, and that will naturally make that person, that kid, that individual more receptive to. Oh, you're Indian. What do you do differently? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm quarter, and it will create some great conversations. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's where he'll learn to probably embrace things quicker because it's been trained into him as a kid.
Yeah, I guess it's because even though he'll appear like a white boy, he'll have the experience of another culture in the family, and therefore is missing that barrier that people end up getting built up of the fear of like, oof.
He's preconditioned to multiple cultures at an early age, which is great.
Cool. We could talk about this for hours. So stay tuned because... No, I'm joking. We'll wrap it up there. Guys, if you've got any questions, comments, anything like that, you can email dadknowsbest@mbs.fm. There's a lot of shit going on in the world right now. Yeah, it's hard to believe, like with COVID-19 and then all this going on. Again, one of the challenges is like I'm trying to just sort of be accepted of everyone and everything, but I didn't realize that there was such a difference because I'm a privileged white male. You know what I mean? I've never had any issues, so to me I'm like, oh, everything's cool. And like even from If you're a female, like business is very different. Companies treat you differently. Mm-hmm. To then be an ethnic minority is even worse. So for anyone and everyone that potentially is suffering anything like that, hearts go out to all of you. Don't know where I was going with that, but yeah, I just wanted to say like we agree with the Black Lives Matter movement and things like that. And I'm trying to educate myself a bit more with all of it.
I think it's important, mess about. I think it's a nice way to wrap it up. Nothing else can be said really, apart from the fact that me and Harry, we can have very open conversations, and we do. It's really hard to sometimes speak up when you don't see what people are going through. Like you say, we don't see the struggles.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think
like in my world, everything's okay fine. And hunky dory.
Yeah, exactly. Like there, I don't walk into a meeting ever with business and think there's any prejudice against mm-hmm. me. Like I don't have to deal with all that. And because we don't have to deal with it, it's very easy for us not to say anything about it. But I think one of the biggest benefits of what's gone on in the world is it started this conversation. And me and you have had conversations that we never have had before. And it's really put a spotlight for me and you for this show specifically to be like, well, how do we change our activities and behaviors to impact our kids? Because we want to see change. So yeah, I love the message that you just left us with. And if you are in any way suffering or struggling right now, yeah, we're going to make change. And if you're one of those people that hasn't yet spoken up, don't feel the need to speak up because everyone else is, but just try and get more involved in the conversation and educate yourself. Because I think that's the biggest thing for me. Just educate yourself and then you can pass it on to your kids.
And then one final note, guys, it is my birthday coming up. So
when?
This show will go live on Thursday. And my birthday is on the 21st of June, guys. Longest day of the year, beginning of summer.
Is that next Tuesday?
It's this Sunday.
Father's Day?
This Sunday. Father's Day, my birthday. And on that note, it will be a very special episode because Papa Mudge will be on the show.
Holy shit!
So...
nice. So, I can't wait to listen.
So I'm going to be taking the mics and recording.
That's cool.
Daddy, tell me about my story.
Can you do me a favor? Can we make a deal now? Can I give you three questions though at some point in the show? I'm going to think about them.
Yeah. Email them to me. I'll
what email should I email them to, Harry?
You can email dadknowsbest@nbs.fm. If you've got questions you want to ask Papa Mudge, email them. Will that get there in time? Maybe not. Maybe. I don't know. Follow up. Yeah. Email dadknowsbest@nbs.fm.
I'm going to get you three questions that I want him to answer on the show. All right. Hit subscribe.
Cool. Subscribe. See you next time.
Ciao.